Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Chemistry Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most relevant and fascinating topics on the specification, the Earth and its atmosphere. Whether you're revising for AQA, EdExcel, or OCR, this topic comes up every single year, and today I'm going to make sure you walk away feeling completely confident about it. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's go right back to the beginning. About 4.6 billion years ago, the Earth was a very different place. The early atmosphere was formed mainly by volcanic activity, intense eruptions that released gases from inside the Earth. This process is called volcanic outgassing. The early atmosphere was thought to consist mostly of carbon dioxide, similar to the atmospheres of Mars and Venus today, along with water vapor and small amounts of nitrogen. There was very little or no oxygen. Think of it like this. If the early Earth had an atmosphere, it would have been completely unbreathable for us. Now, here's something really important for your exam. The evidence for the early atmosphere comes from studying the atmospheres of Mars and Venus, which are still mostly carbon dioxide, and from analyzing ancient rocks and volcanic gases. Examiners love asking about this evidence, so remember, we use comparisons with other planets and geological records. As the Earth cooled, the water vapor condensed to form the oceans. This was a crucial step because carbon dioxide began to dissolve into the oceans. As it dissolved, it reacted to form carbonate compounds, which eventually became sedimentary rocks like limestone. So the oceans acted like a giant carbon sink, pulling CO2 out of the atmosphere. Now we come to the most dramatic change in atmospheric history, the rise of oxygen. About 2.7 billion years ago, simple photosynthetic organisms, mainly cyanobacteria, also called blue-green algae, began to evolve. These tiny organisms use the process of photosynthesis to convert carbon dioxide and water into glucose and oxygen. The equation you need to know is 6 carbon dioxide plus 6 water using light energy produces glucose plus 6 oxygen. Over hundreds of millions of years, these organisms pumped oxygen into the atmosphere. At first, the oxygen reacted with dissolved iron in the oceans, forming iron oxides, the banded iron formations we find in ancient rocks today. But eventually, oxygen began to accumulate in the atmosphere. This rise in oxygen had two massive consequences. First, it allowed complex aerobic life to evolve, organisms that could use oxygen for respiration, including, eventually, us. Second, some of that oxygen was converted into ozone in the upper atmosphere, forming the ozone layer, which protects life from harmful ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Today, the atmosphere has a very specific composition that you absolutely must memorize for your exam. Nitrogen makes up approximately 78% of the atmosphere. Oxygen makes up approximately 21%. Argon accounts for about 1%. And carbon dioxide is present at approximately 0.04%. A tiny fraction, but enormously important. A great memory trick. Think of the atmosphere as a room of 100 people. 78 are nitrogen, 21 are oxygen, 1 is argon, and less than 1 person represents carbon dioxide. Despite being such a small fraction, that carbon dioxide is doing a very important job. Let's talk about the greenhouse effect, and this is where I need you to be really precise because examiners will penalize vague answers here. The greenhouse effect works like this. Shortwave radiation from the sun passes through the atmosphere and is absorbed by the Earth's surface. The Earth then re-emits this energy as long-wave infrared radiation, essentially heat, greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, including carbon dioxide, methane, water vapor, and nitrous oxide, absorb this infrared radiation. They then re-emit it in all directions, including back towards Earth. This keeps the planet warmer than it would otherwise be. Now here's a key distinction that trips up many candidates. The greenhouse effect itself is natural and essential for life. Without it, the Earth's average temperature would be around minus 18 degrees Celsius, far too cold for life as we know it. The problem is the enhanced greenhouse effect, where human activities are increasing the concentration of greenhouse gases, causing more heat to be trapped and global temperatures to rise. The main human activities increasing greenhouse gas concentrations are burning fossil fuels, which releases carbon dioxide, deforestation, which reduces the amount of CO2 being removed by photosynthesis, and agriculture, particularly cattle farming and rice paddies, which produce methane. Examiners expect you to be able to evaluate the evidence for climate change. The key evidence includes IceCore data showing a correlation between CO2 levels and global temperatures over hundreds of thousands of years. Direct measurements of atmospheric CO2 since the 1950s showing a steady increase. Global temperature records showing a clear warming trend, and the retreat of glaciers and ice sheets worldwide. An important skill here is interpreting graphs. If you're shown a graph of CO2 concentration against time, you should be able to identify the trend, generally increasing since industrialization, and link it to human fossil fuel consumption. Remember, correlation does not automatically prove causation, but the scientific consensus, supported by multiple independent lines of evidence, is that human activity is the primary driver of recent climate change. Now let's move on to atmospheric pollutants. These are substances released into the atmosphere that cause harm. Carbon monoxide is produced by the incomplete combustion of fuels, particularly in car engines when there isn't enough oxygen for complete combustion. It's colorless and odorless, making it particularly dangerous. In the body, it binds to hemoglobin in red blood cells, preventing oxygen from being carried, which can be fatal. Sulfur dioxide is produced when fossil fuels containing sulfur impurities are burned. It dissolves in rainwater to form sulfurous acid, contributing to acid rain. Acid rain damages ecosystems, corrodes buildings and statues, and harms aquatic life. Nitrogen oxides are formed when nitrogen and oxygen in the air react together at the high temperatures inside car engines. They also contribute to acid rain and can cause respiratory problems. They also react with other pollutants in sunlight to form photochemical smog. Particulates are tiny solid particles produced by incomplete combustion, especially from diesel engines. They can penetrate deep into the lungs, causing respiratory disease and even lung cancer. They also contribute to global dimming by reflecting sunlight back into space. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. First, the most common mistake I see, confusing the greenhouse effect with ozone layer depletion. These are completely different processes. The greenhouse effect is about heat being trapped by greenhouse gases. Ozone depletion is about CFCs breaking down the ozone layer, allowing more UV radiation through. Do not mix these up. Examiners will not give you credit if you confuse them. Second mistake, being vague about mechanisms. If a question asks you to explain the greenhouse effect, don't just say heat gets trapped. You need to say shortwave radiation from the sun passes through the atmosphere. The Earth's surface absorbs this and re-emits it as long-wave infrared radiation. Greenhouse gas molecules absorb this infrared radiation and re-emit it in all directions, including back towards Earth, causing warming. Third, when asked to evaluate evidence for climate change, don't just list facts. Acknowledge that there are uncertainties in climate models, but explain why the overall evidence is compelling. Examiners reward balanced, critical thinking. Fourth, for pollutants, always link the source to the effect. Don't just say sulfur dioxide causes acid rain. Explain that sulfur dioxide dissolves in rainwater to form sulfurous acid, which lowers the pH of rain, damaging ecosystems and corroding structures. For command words, if the question says state, give a brief factual answer. Describe means say what happens. Explain means give a reason. Use the word because. Evaluate means consider evidence on both sides and reach a conclusion. For longer questions worth 4 to 6 marks, structure your answer clearly, cover the key points methodically, don't repeat yourself, and don't waffle. Every sentence should earn you a mark. Time for a quick quiz. I'll ask the questions, pause the podcast, and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What percentage of the present-day atmosphere is nitrogen? Answer, approximately 78%. Question 2. Name 2 processes that removed carbon dioxide from the early atmosphere. Answer, dissolving in the oceans to form carbonates and photosynthesis by plants and algae. Question 3. What type of radiation does the Earth re-emit after absorbing solar energy? Answer, long-wave infrared radiation. Question 4. Name the pollutant produced by incomplete combustion that binds to hemoglobin. Answer, carbon monoxide. Question 5. What is the difference between the greenhouse effect and the enhanced greenhouse effect? Answer, the greenhouse effect is a natural process that keeps Earth warm. The enhanced greenhouse effect is the increase in this warming due to human activities increasing greenhouse gas concentrations. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review that section. Let's wrap up with the key points to take away from today's session. 1. The early atmosphere was mostly carbon dioxide and water vapor produced by volcanic outgassing, oxygen was absent. 2. Oxygen built up over billions of years through photosynthesis by early organisms like cyanobacteria. 3. The present-day atmosphere is approximately 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, 1% argon, and 0.04% carbon dioxide. 4. The greenhouse effect is a natural process where greenhouse gases trap infrared radiation. The enhanced greenhouse effect caused by human activities is driving climate change. 5. Key atmospheric pollutants are carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, and particulates, each with specific sources and harmful effects. 6. When answering exam questions, be precise about mechanisms, use correct scientific terminology, and always link cause to effect. That's it for today's podcast on the Earth and its atmosphere. I hope you feel more confident about this topic. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions, and remember, every mark counts. Good luck in your exams.